The most expensive defense program ever, the F-35 fighter plane, runs into more problems. Government auditors now say software delays could force the Marine Corps to push back its rollout scheduled for next year. What's more, the auditors say the Defense Department will have to spend more than $12 billion annually on the program for the next 22 years. For more on the future of the F-35, we turn to Rob Levinson. He's a senior defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Emily.
So, Rob, first of all, put this GAO, the Government Accountability Office's latest report, into context. It talks mostly about software and software testing delays. How significant is it?
Emily, I mean, it's not huge, but it is significant. You know, this program has, as the report points out, been restructured. This is the third time, the last time in 2012 it's been restructured. There's been a series of software problems. There's been structural problems in the aircraft, which the Marine Corps version, which the report also mentions. There's a lot of problems that have gone along with this very, very vast program.
And are these problems fixable, considering the scale of the program?
Sure, they're fixable, but they, you have to add two things, time and money. With more money and more time, I'm sure they are fixable.
One of the things the GAO mentions, or a word that it uses in its recommendations to the Defense Department, is think about the capabilities that realistically can be delivered to the military services. And it uses the word realistically. Do you think that defense officials or Lockheed Martin, the main contractor, they're being realistic about the F-35?
Well, I mean, there's always a problem with these big programs. They call it requirements creep, is that, the Defense Department sometimes wants to keep adding bells and whistles and new capabilities as technologies emerge. And the problem with that is that adds costs. And I think what the GAO is trying to say here is, settle on a design, settle on a set of requirements and work towards that. Maybe you can upgrade the aircraft later. But if you keep changing the design or adding, requirements as you're still researching and developing the aircraft, you're going to keep adding costs and adding delays.
And is that why this is the most expensive defense program ever? And it seems to be much more expensive than other programs by a lot.
Well, I mean, it's expensive because we're buying a lot of aircraft. You have three services buying this aircraft. The total buy is over 2,000 aircraft for the U.S., and then you have all these foreign partners. So you have three services. You have a lot of nations cooperating in this. There's, I think, nine key partners, and then there's a whole lot of other nations participating. So it's a very complex program. It's a very large program. So it was going to be expensive anyway. I'm not sure that these problems have really, they totally say why this is so expensive. It's a big program.
Do you think that the expense, and there's been a lot of criticism, not just from GAO, but of course from Congress and from others, about the expense of the program and the delays in it. Just asking your opinion as an analyst who looks at the numbers, do you think that criticism is warranted, or is this just the cost of a program that is this large and will deliver so much?
No, I think some of the criticism is certainly warranted. I mean, there's been some management problems in this program, and again, this requirements creep. On the other hand, as you point out, any large defense program, there's going to be issues. We're never very, very good at estimating the cost at the beginning of a program and sticking to that. There's always things especially when you're developing new technologies, you don't know where you're going to go. And so some of it is inherent in just the size and scope of the program, but I think some of the criticism is certainly valid, and it's causing some consternation.
And how important is it that the Marine Corps, which is the first service that would get these planes, that they get it next July?
Well, I mean, they're using it to replace the Harrier, which is the previous generation of aircraft that has a vertical takeoff capability, and those aircraft are getting awfully old. And so the Marine Corps needs this replacement, and it does look like, appearing from the report, that, the full combat capability of the software is not going to be ready in July of next year. Now, some subset of that may be ready. I'm not clear on, can you get a subset of the software that maybe can allow the aircraft to operate certain weapon systems and perhaps not others. It's not very clear, but it does appear that they won't have that full capability that they were planning on in July of 2015.
So for the Marine Corps, they may have to make do with other aircraft that are getting past their prime.
Yeah, they may have to keep, you know, flying the Harriers a little bit longer or settle for perhaps less than the full capability. Of course, the Marine Corps may look at it, you know, they're using it to support their ground troops in sort of close combat, where, say, the Air Force and the Navy are looking at a much more deep strike capability going way inland and taking out more strategic types of targets. So the Marine Corps may be able to settle for a little less capability, but they're probably going to have to hang on to the Harriers maybe longer than they originally planned.
And tell me a little bit about the problems that the GAO has identified. They single out software testing, and at the same time they say that the program has made improvement in things like manufacturing and management of supply chain. So it begs the question, what is the tricky part about the software development?
Well, you know, these systems, these modern aircraft, I mean, the software is so key both to flying the aircraft because they're built aerodynamically unstable, and the computer actually does a lot of the flying, although those systems, according to the GAO, the flight sciences systems, seem to be working okay. But we have more and more complex weapon systems and more complex sensors that feed in and help those weapon systems target. It's just, you know, increasing complexity, and that's why the software is so important, and it is very, very complicated.
And is the software the part that you were referring to earlier when you mentioned requirements creep? Has the Defense Department been adding, as they go along, new requirements regarding the software?
I think there's probably some of that, or maybe new requirements regarding the performance of various weapons or even new weapons. You know, I don't know exactly all the things that the department has added since the beginning of the program, but there's probably a software component to all of that. I don't know that they say add this to the software. They may say add this weapons capability or add this performance capability to the aircraft, and that, you know, there's an inherent change in the software that becomes necessary.
And in other parts of the government, for example, when you look at, and this is, you know, the target these days, but healthcare.gov, this big rollout that was not a success, or if you look at the Office of Personnel Management's processing of retirement claims and efforts to modernize and digitize that system, there's always this criticism that the government isn't agile enough and it doesn't do things in a modular fashion. Like, take one aspect, get that working, get that operational, and then build the next. Just wondering, with a program of this size and this, you know, with these defense strategies, is it being approached in a modular way, or would a modular would that type of approach benefit it more if it were?
You know, perhaps. I mean, I don't claim a great deal of expertise in, you know, sort of the ins and outs of program management. One thing I will say is, you mentioned all of these big products in other parts of the government. You know, the private sector isn't necessarily perfect at this either. You know, the Sydney Opera House came in. That's a famous one. It came in at 1,000% of the original estimates when it was finally built. Big projects, whether big infrastructure projects, any time things get large, you enter into a lot of variables into the equation. And things change and things go wrong and prices change, technology doesn't work the way you thought it. So some of this is simply inherent. Could a modular approach help? Perhaps. You know, I think experimenting with different types of approaches is always probably a good idea. But again, there's a lot of inherent risk in any large program, whether it's in the government or the private sector.
We're speaking with Rob Levinson. He's a senior defense analyst at Bloomberg Government. So GAO has delivered its report to Congress. How do you think Congress is going to view it, particularly in light of the fiscal 2015 budget request?
Well, you know, I think Congress has had a lot of skepticism of this program, and it's going to sort of add to that skepticism. You know, the Navy has already cut back on the ultimate buy. I think in the 2015 request, when they project out the total buy of the aircraft over the life of the program, the Navy's already cut 33 aircraft from their desired total buy of the aircraft. And I think there could be pressure, particularly on the Air Force, which is buying most of them, to, you know, perhaps trim that ultimate buy in order to save perhaps some other programs. You know, things like the Air Force wants to cut the A-10 and the U-2. Some of those decisions are very controversial in Congress. Some might push to say, hey, could maybe you trim back the F-35 buy so that you can use some of that money to save some of these other things. You may see some of that because Congress doesn't like any of these cuts, and they may be looking for money. And if you're looking for money in DOD, there's a lot of it in the F-35.
And is there pressure on the Defense Department or on Lockheed Martin to change who's working on this, to perhaps mix up the subcontractors or to change tactics at all? Or is this pretty much something that is set in stone and too big to fail?
Well, I don't know that it's completely set in stone. I mean, there's pressure, but they also don't want to change horses. You know, I've said that the program has been restructured three times. But as you mentioned, the GAO points out, they're getting they're improving a lot on the manufacture of the aircraft and the hours that go in. There was really substantial improvement in sort of the man hours per building the aircraft. So they're getting pretty good at that piece of it. I don't know that people want to change too many horses in midstream here, but I also would agree with that statement of too big to fail. You know, this program is not going to get killed. There's simply too many countries, too many services, too much money, and they're too far along. There's no way to kill this program. At the end of the day, you may see trims in the U.S. buy. Some of our foreign partners, the Canadians, the Italians, the Australians have expressed some skepticism, but then the South Koreans just said that they're going to buy 40 of these aircraft. So there's a lot of momentum behind this aircraft. It would be very hard to sort of completely kill it, but certainly trim it back some, I think, is a very real possibility.